you, Pastor. Give God praise all over this sanctuary. Just give God praise. He is so worthy. He inhabits, he lives in, he dwells in, he relaxes in the praises of his people. God is so good. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a sanctuary and I am a temple. You need to understand that this building is not a temple. You are the temple of the living God. In you dwells the presence of the living, creative God. The same God that in the beginning was the Word, and in the beginning God said, the same God that had creative energy in his Word is the same Word of God that dwells in you. You didn't get excited about that when you looked at your neighbor and you told him, I'm a temple. Just tell him, I'm a temple. Last night you learned that you're still going on in the book of Acts, but you're a temple. I am a temple, but this is a sanctuary. If you'll study the word sanctuary, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you'll study into a word study on sanctuary, you can take it from the Hebrew all the way into the English connotation today of a refuge or a reserve or a place that has been separated and isolated where only certain things are allowed. The house of God from Old Testament to present times is to be a sanctuary. In a game refuge or in a bird sanctuary or in a deer reserve or a game reserve, there's no hunting and there's no fishing. Oh, I could preach right now about that. Say, I'm a temple, but this is a sanctuary. What that means is when you walked in this place today, this place has been set aside and consecrated. Angels are encamping around about this area. The Bible said that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him, which means that you are in a protected environment. There are signs in the Holy Ghost to the demonic hordes of hell. There is no hunting or no fishing allowed up in here. Hell can't shoot at you in here, and he can't fish up your past and your trouble and your pain. But when you got covered by the blood, when you walked in here today, if you've never been in this building, I come to tell you it's a sanctuary. It's a place of refuge from despair. It's a hiding place. The psalmist said it's like being under the shadow of the Almighty or hiding up under the wing of a mother hen that gathers her chicks. There is safety in the presence of the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you just need to drop your guard. Nobody's going to hurt you in here. Nobody wants to know about your past. Nobody cares about your background. Nobody cares about really what you believe. All we care about is if you drop your guard, the ministering spirit of the living God, Rabbah, Jehovah Rahi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu, the eternal God is in this place right now. Would you raise your hands and just allow barriers? I pray right now. There can be no fishing up of the past or mistakes. There can be no fishing up. There can be. I pray right now that you would give understanding, that you would give deliverance, that you would give restoration. I praise you for what I feel. Praise you for what I feel. Now, the last few services, I believe when I was here last time, we came out with our hands up. You remember that? And we sang an hour and a half or 2 hours about Hallelujah Oh. And I told you that I was so excited about being in a church that I felt the same anointing here that I feel when I go in Africa and other places. I was just thinking, Brother Sutton, if you'll let me come back, I'm going to put together a lesson just for this church on things the African church preaches and believes and does that the American church doesn't. And I want to come teach it here and just compare the two and see if you want to buy into that. Because I would love to come back in about a year and you tell me, oh, we've had about 25 raised from the dead and we've had demons cast out in the mall and our young people are rebuking witches in the high school and say, just do it. And been a spirit of deliverance and power. But today I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. If you have your Bibles and go to the book of Psalm and then to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to go more into restoration. I don't know why I'm feeling this. I felt it in the room. I almost changed my mind in your worship. But I've learned a long time ago I can't let the atmosphere and the climate change the word of God that's in my spirit. God is here to restore. There are broken, wounded people. There are people in this room that are not where you used to be. There are hurts in this room. There are embarrassments. There are shames. Some of you, it took a lot of guts for you to just come back. It has taken a lot of faith in God just to keep coming and to keep standing, because the enemy has condemned you and accused you and wounded you. And in an atmosphere like this, with so much worship and praise, and to me, this looks like a perfect church with perfect people, perfect pastor. It looks like you probably wouldn't need what I'm about to preach. And if I'm off your pastor, I'm sure tell me at lunch. But until lunch, it's my baby. Psalms 51, the 51st Psalm, and then we'll just meander around and see where God leads us. Psalm 51, and we'll find in verse... Let's go ahead and read verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Say a broken spirit. Skip back to verse 7, where he is in a repentant state and is telling the Lord, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Have you ever been in the situation where God had to stop you and make you hear something good? Because all that could come in your spirit was the negative, the dark, the oppressed, the lies of hell, the shame, the confusion, the failure that you could see that you had done. That's why he leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me to eat, to lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's times where he has to make me lie down. He has to make me to hear joy and gladness. That the bones, which was added so you could just go straight in, the bones thou hast broken. Now he's talking to God. The bones thou hast broken may rejoice. Look at somebody and say, I'm broken in all the right pieces. Ooh, Jesus. I may be broken today, but it's in all the right pieces. I may have failed, but my failures are not final. The God I serve is not only the beginning, he is the Alpha and the Omega. My failures are part of the equation of my success. Oh, you're not hearing me in here. God knew my failures when he called me. God knew my proclivity when he proclaimed me. God knew my trouble when he called. Oh, hi-ya. I wish I was preaching to somebody. I come in today wounded. I come in broken. I come in hurt. But I come to tell the devil, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. I'm broken in all the right places. Because here's what Joseph said, what you have done for evil, God has turned for my good. I wish somebody would put your Bible down and begin to clap your hands and magnify the name of the Lord and say, what the devil has meant for evil, God has turned for my good. Hey, somebody ought to pray in the spirit. Pray until you can talk in tongues. Rejoice until you can feel a spirit of liberty. First John chapter 3, I feel the anointing here, and tonight we'll probably stay in the same vein of healing and anointing, and today you can be healed physically, but I'm not focusing on that. It can happen at any point. My focus today is on healing somebody's spirit. There are wounded spirits in here. There are people on the verge of leaving the faith, not because you don't love God, but you don't have confidence in yourself anymore. It's not that you don't trust God, you don't trust yourself. It's because he's never failed you, but you failed him so many times that you're just tired of being a hypocrite, and you're tired of the... Oh, am I preaching to anybody in here? That's what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Just one more time, say it with me. I'm broken in all the right pieces. Would you clap your hands and give him praise? Father, I pray for anointing, wisdom, revelation, power, impartation in the name of Jesus. God's come to lift up somebody out of the pit of despair. He's come to loose you from the spirit of condemnation. I don't care if you messed up before you walked in here today. You ought to raise your hands and holler, I'm still here. I'm still here. I did not allow my failure, my sin, my proclivity, my trouble to separate me from the love of God, the grace of God, the people of God, the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. I'm going to get a fresh word in my spirit, and he's going to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Devil, I'm still here. You haven't won yet. I'm in the house of God. I know I should be in jail, but I'm here. I should be divorced, but I'm here. I should be bankrupt, but I'm here. I should be with a hangover, but I'm here. I should be laid up in an alley with crack cocaine, but I'm here. You can be seated. A few years ago, I was preaching at a conference in Ohio, where Brother Sherrod pastored in Ohio, and they have the flight museum and all that stuff there, the Wright Brother Museum and everything. And I went to this museum, and you got to know, you've heard me preach a few times now, I'm not a real deep person. I read a lot of books. I study a lot. Last night, Brother Sutton, you won't believe this, at a quarter till 11, my phone rang in the room. Not my cell phone, because I turned it off. I don't like to talk on the phone. My phone rang. I picked it up. What you doing? What do you think I'm doing? I'm reading a book and trying to go to bed. Took two Tylenol PM. It's almost 11 o'clock. That's my bedtime on Saturday night. Well, I'm here. And it was a pastor across town had come over, one of my friends, at a quarter to 11. He walked in the room and said, what you doing? I had three books laid out, my laptop laid out. I said, I've been trying to get some stuff together. He looked at some of these books. He said, my Lord, as many books as you read, you ought to preach better than you preach. I said, thanks a lot for being my friend. But my job is not really to impress you with my intellectual ability. My job is to connect to you and to break you through to the next dimension that God has for you in your life. That's my job, what God's called me to do. And they took us through all this technical stuff. Now, my brother back here, I met him this afternoon from Baton Rouge. He's smart. I just talked to him a few minutes. He's one of those intelligent guys. He would enjoy the first part of the tour. They told all the aerodynamics. They told all of the formulas and how to fly and all about flight and space and all this stuff. And I just walked around kind of sucking my thumb because I didn't understand a thing about it. Then they come up and they started talking about Orville and Wilbur. Now, my personality, I like to talk about personalities and people. Don't give me facts and figures. I love CPAs. I love accountants and attorneys. I need them. If you are one, see me after church. I love those kind of people. I love technical people, but I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Tell me about a people. Tell me a story. Tell me somebody having trouble. Tell me a situation. So I was standing there. When they started talking about Orville and Wilbur, then I got excited. And the lady turned around and said, do you want to know an amazing thing about the plane that finally flew for the first time? Do you want to know something very amazing about the Kitty Hawk and the one that they finally were? I said, yeah, tell me something amazing. She said, the thing that's amazing about this is there were no new parts in that plane. Step in and said, what you talking about, Willis? She said, they had failed so many times that they took what worked from the broken remnants of their past failures. You're not hearing me. They took the wing that worked the last time. They put the most comfortable seat that didn't hurt them the time before. They went back and they took pieces of their broken failures. And the one that finally flew was just a bunch of broken pieces put together in the right place. There was no new parts on it, baby, but it was just broken pieces. All of a sudden, I felt the wind of the Holy Ghost say, some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'm going to fly away. And the Lord said, there won't be anything new in you but my spirit. I'm going to take everything that hell has tried to break and destroy and I lie to you and cheat you in your life. And the one that's going to be raptured is going to be things that I have put together. And I want to tell the devil, I may be broken, but it's in all the right pieces. I may be broken. There may be parts scattered all over to me. Am I preaching to anybody that survived a divorce? Am I preaching to anybody that was an alcoholic, a drug addict, didn't even know how to balance your your checkbook? Am I preaching to anybody that's had debtors calling your telephone? Am I preaching to anybody your reputation has been scattered and smothered and covered? But you come up in here today and say, devil, if God has allowed me to live through it, he's going to take what the devil has meant for evil and he's about to turn it around for my good, because I'm broken in all the right pieces. Take a prayer from over here. Take a song from over here. Take a worship from over here. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. And somebody needs to understand the equation of grace. My failure plus God's grace equals a ministry. If you are here today listening to the sound of my voice and you have survived the attack of the devil, there is something in you that God can use to destroy an attack. Who am I preaching in here? Your failures are not final. Your failures are not final. Your failures are not final. Your failures have been equipped. You would not have the testimony God wants you to have if you had not lived through the mess you've lived through. And I wish somebody say, I would not be me. I would not have the anointing. There would be no David without a Bathsheba. There would be no Peter without a denial. Oh, you're not hearing me. There would be no Joseph without a pit. There would be no Paul without a road to Damascus. There would never have been the ministries if they had not survived the mess and the trouble and the trial. Somebody say, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. Greater is he that is in me. I'm a survivor. Would you praise him, right? Ah, yeah. Oh, we need to pray. Something's breaking up in here. Something is breaking up in here. La Yamosha. A lot of people want to make fun of Naomi. A lot of people want to condemn Naomi. A lot of people want to say, you know who Naomi was? Naomi was the mother-in-law of Ruth. Naomi's the woman that followed her husband into a barren land. Basically, she backslid. She left the house of bread. She left God's covenant people. They want to make fun of her, but let me stop for a minute. If she hadn't been out and lived through a mess, she would have never met she would have never met Ruth. If she would have never met Ruth, Ruth would have never met Boaz. If Ruth would have never met Boaz, there would have never been a David. If there had never been a David, there would have never been a Jesus. If there had never been a Jesus, there would not have been a name that's above every other name, that at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, she had a mess, but she turned her mess into a miracle. She turned her failure into a future. I need to tell somebody, God wants to turn your failure into a future. Loose every shackle, every lie of hell that is condemned, denied, every spirit of bitterness and fatigue and worry. Go, ho, shababoshi. I wish you would praise him up in here. I wish you would praise him up in here. I wish you would praise. You need to quit letting the hell condemn you and say, my failures are my future. My failures are my future. The Bible doesn't only say that these are they that overcame by the blood of the Lamb, but he said these are they that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your failure is your future. If you could get victory over the giant of your life, the bigger your giant, the greater your future, the greater your adversary, the greater your anointing. And I wish somebody in here would say, my failures are not final, but my failures are my future, and I'm going to take my failures and put them together in the right pieces of grace. Make fun of Naomi all you want to. When Naomi went back, when Naomi finally come to herself, when Naomi finally realized that she had gone too far. Yes, she was punished. Yes, she had lost what she loved. Am I preaching to anybody? You've paid the price already. You don't need me to condemn you. You don't need me to tell you you were stupid. You don't need me to tell you you made a mistake. You don't need a preacher to beat you up. You need somebody to build you up. You don't need somebody to put you down. You need somebody to lift you up. You already know you are half crazy. You already know you shouldn't have hung out with
them. You already know you shouldn't have been there, done that, said that, done that, gone there. But now that you've been there, now that it happened, you say, I think I'm going to go back to the house of the Lord. Let me give you a little secret here. When Naomi went back, destiny followed her home. I come to preach to somebody what happens when destiny follows you home. She said, no, I'm going to go back. But destiny said, I'm not going to leave you. She did not join herself to her destiny until she stood up in her failure. But when she admitted, I've made a mistake, and I'm not going to let my mistake keep me in Moab. I'm not going to die in my mistake. I may have to bury some things out here, but I'm not going to stay in my mistake. I'm going to go back to the house of the Lord. When she stood up and said, I'm going home, destiny said, I'm going with you. Ruth was the future. Ruth was the womb of the future. I wish I could preach up in here. Out of the womb of Ruth come the King of Israel and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Out of the womb of Ruth came this mighty army of spiritual priesthood. But yet she could not have joined herself if Naomi had not survived Moab. Who am I preaching to? That you can sit and rot and die and suck your thumb and meditate and be depressed over what you've lost. Or you can stand up and say, I'm going to get right. I'm going to submit to the word of God, the man of God. I don't understand why I did what I did. Maybe I was in rebellion. Maybe I was just stupid. Maybe it was just a simple mistake. But I'm going to go back toward home. I'm preaching to somebody right now. If you'll make that mistake, there's a spirit of destiny wanting to join itself to you. There is the seed of the future wanting to join itself to you. There is a ministry. There is an anointing. There is a destiny. There's a breakthrough for your family. There's a breakthrough for your family. There's a breakthrough for your finances. There's a break. Oh, I feel something in here. Destiny wants to follow somebody home. I'm broken. Tell somebody, I'm broken. I don't deny that. The bones that thou hast broken, oh God, make them rejoice. I don't deny that I'm broke up. I don't deny that I feel like I'm falling apart. I don't deny that I've got half a heart over here and half a heart over here. I don't deny that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I don't deny that I've been trying to hold on to God and hold on to the world at the same time. I don't deny that I've done some things, acted stupid. I don't deny that. But now that I've done it, what's going to happen now? Do I have to sit here and die? Do I have to sit here and be punished the rest of my life? Or can I go on with my future? Can I go on with my life? Can I go on with my destiny? God's trying to tell somebody in here today, it's time for God to put it together. Take the broken pieces, put it together at the right time, and you're about to fly, baby. You're about to kick, you're about to take off. Somebody's getting ready to take off. Would you praise? Something's moving in here. Something's moving in here. Someday I'll preach more about destiny following you home. What about Jonah? What about Jonah? Was Jonah called of God? Yep. Was Jonah a prophet of God? Yep. Did God speak to Jonah? Yep. Did Jonah rebel? Yep. Did Jonah go opposite of the direction God told him to go? Yep. Did God turn it around for his will? Yep. See, what you don't understand, God knows what you're going to do before you do it. When he calls you, he knows how you're going to handle it. He knows, but he has already equated what you're going to do. And he has already equated that whatever you do can't stop what he said's going to happen. Because you're not hearing him. His promises are in him, yea, and in him, amen. He sees the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the end. If he has ever told you something, don't you dare stop in the middle, because he already has equated your mess and your miracle. He already knows that it's going to take your trouble to give you a testimony. And at the end of the road, when you get there, you'll see you could have never got there if you hadn't acted as crazy as you acted. God knew exactly what was going to go on. And where hell destroys us is when you quit in the middle of the process. When you sit down and listen to the devil tell you that you're a failure and you'll never make it. And that nobody loves you and nobody cares. and that you attend one of those legalistic churches that, well, if you go to that church, if you mess up, they'll just condemn you. The devil is a liar. There is nobody in here that wants you to fail. Will you be corrected? Yes. They may have to look at you stern and tell you, but you need to be man or woman enough to admit it. You need to admit, number one, I messed up. I flubbed up. But now that I did it and it's over, let's go on. That's why the Bible said, let us go on in Hebrews 6:1. Let us go on unto perfection. I played with all this stuff, but it's time to go on. It's time to go on. Look at your neighbor, says he make any sense? Jonah flubbed up. Jonah got cast overboard. There was a great storm and it wouldn't stop. Am I preaching to anybody? There are storms in your life that won't go away. There are things going on that you can't fix. The lawyer can't fix it. The judge can't fix it. The preacher can't fix it. One reason I enjoy not being a pastor is when I was a pastor, people thought I could fix anything. They would get in their mess. They wouldn't come to church for 6 months. Then they would call me and want me to fix their mess. Honey, I'm telling you, there's some things the preacher can't fix. There are some things you're going to have to ride out because they are the wages of sin. But God loves you enough that he doesn't want you to die yet. So if you're willing to pay the wages down here, he can deliver you so that the wages don't have to be death. Am I preaching to somebody? You're not going to get out scot-free. You're going to reap what you sowed. But if you're willing to reap it now and be a man or a woman and say, I realize I messed up, but I'm going to handle it and repent, God will join you to destiny. Oh, I wish I was preaching to somebody. I promise I'll preach better next time. I don't feel like preaching. I feel like just telling you something. Here's Jonah. Jonah thrown overboard. And here's what my Bible said. My Bible said this. That God had prepared a great fish. God knew before they threw him over what they were going to do. Say he knows the end from the beginning. He knew you was going to slam the door and cuss before you ever did it. He knew you was going to be tempted by that good-looking devil before it ever happened. He knew you were going to embezzle before you ever got the stupidity to do it. He knew you was going to rebel and stay out of church 2 or 3 weeks, and then the devil was going to set you up a trap. God knew that. But he has also prepared a way of escape. And some of you think that the escape hatch of God is a trial. Honey, that fish wasn't a trial. The belly of that fish kept Jonah alive. I wish there was somebody in here that said, what I'm going through right now may not smell good, may not look good, but at least I'm still alive and I'm not in hell. You're not hearing me. You may be living in a one-bedroom apartment with no running water, but at least you're still here. You could be dead, baby. You could have been judged already, baby. You could already lost everything. You could have AIDS in your body. You could be dying with your very last breath. Say, for the grace of God. Make sense? Don't make sense. Guys, talk a while. Is this all right? Am I boring you? Okay, good. Am I not boring you? Good. Because I know you people shout for anything. I could get up here and say Jehovah Jireh 10 times, you'd shout. So I don't know. I never know if I'm doing good or not. Y'all act like I'm doing good when I don't do good. It's just wonderful. How you doing, man? Good to see you. This guy right here is one of the greatest cooks in the world. Are you open on Monday? Good. Praise God. That's good news. Now, I'm just following the Spirit. Following the Spirit. God prepared a great fish. You don't understand. Some of you right now got seaweed wrapped around your neck. Sitting in water, tepid water, sitting in sewage water that deep, and you depressed. Oh, I don't know why the Lord got me going through this. He's saving your life, what he's doing. I don't know why I'm living in this. I don't understand why I can't have the victory. Well, number one, if he blessed you, you'd be blessed in your sin. He would be blessed in your rebellion. And when he blesses your rebellion, you think you're all right, you don't repent. So God knows how to get your attention because he's trying to save your life and prepare your destiny. I wish I was preaching to somebody up in here that you ought to start shouting with seaweed wrapped around your neck. Because when you don't know what he's doing, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You may not understand it. He doesn't come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Tell somebody you're still here. Tell them you're still here. Who am I preaching this excited about it? You smell like dead minnows. You smell like dead minnows, but you're still here. You got chicken bones floating around, but you're still here. I slept with seaweed last night, but I'm still here. If I make my bed in hell, God, thou art there. Here's Jonah in the middle of the whale. Now, hold on. We're going to get deep. If you will study Nineveh, you will learn that Nineveh existed before the Philistines. You will learn that the book of Jonah is one of the oldest books in the Bible. You will learn that Nineveh had a god by the name of Dagon. Later on, when the Philistines came and captured Nineveh, they adopted the god of Nineveh as their god, Dagon. Oh, I wish I could preach up in here. That you will learn later on in Scripture, you will learn that the Dagon became half man and half fish. You will learn that the idol of Dagon that fell down and worshiped to the ark was half man, half fish. But if you will study in Nineveh, before it was perverted by the Philistines, Nineveh did not worship half man, half fish. But the god of Nineveh was a big golden fish on a golden rod in the middle of the city. Their god was a big fish. When God got ready to use his servant, he said, I'm going to put you in the middle of the belly of their god. And what you think is a mistake, I'm going to make a miracle. Because when I get ready to turn this city upside down, I'm going to do it taking my servant, come walking out of the belly of their god, saying, I'm still here. I wish I could. I need to preach. I'm just going to preach. Now stay with me here. I tried to study how many years, at least 500 years, this religious order had been set up before Jonah came. God operates in infinity and in omniscience, which means he knew how they worshiped before Jonah ever rebelled. That's why he prepared a fish and not an octopus. That's why he prepared a fish and not a seahorse. Because if I had been God, I might have would have prepared a big seahorse and put a saddle on it and said, come on, man of God, hi-ho, silver away. But God knew, I'm going to take the god of this world and show that the god that they worship is submitted to my power. God help me. That the addiction of drugs is submitted to the name of Jesus. That the addiction of sex and perversion is submitted at the name of Jesus. That cancer is under submission to the name of Jesus. I wish I could preach up in here. That diabetes is submitted to the name of Jesus. That no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And when I think about what happened in... Oh, you could get happy about it. I feel like preaching up in here now. They put him... The God, history says, my computer program says it got to be true. The commentary says that they had a golden fish on a big rod, that they even offered human sacrifice, but they had never seen this fish. He just existed. They just worshiped him with all kind of magic and sorcery, worshiped the sun god flowing through this embodiment of Dagon, and here they were. Now, when God gets ready to cause this city to repent, Jonah thinks it's about him. God's trying to tell him it's not about you, it's about me. Could I tell you right now, quit thinking you've got to be perfect for God to use you. Quit thinking you got to get your ducks in a row for God to turn the world upside down. He may have put you in a mess that all you got to do is come out of the mess and you'll have a ministry. If you survive this test, just surviving the test might be the testimony. These are they that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Just you be here today, just you leaving your girlfriend, just you telling that bad boy to leave you alone, just walking out of the drug pen may be all that God asks you to do. I may be broken, but it's in all the right pieces. Can you imagine this young apprentice priest walking along the walls of Nineveh? Ever since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, he has worshipped this Dagon, this fish god. Never seen him, never felt him, never heard him. All of a sudden, the glimmer of the sun reflecting off of the scales of something in the sea. He turns his gaze toward the sea, and there, instead of just seeing a flash of light, he sees the scales of a mammoth fish and the fin of this fish flopping up in the sea. He sees this huge thing that he has worshipped his entire life begin to manifest itself. I never did understand how Nineveh repented over one old seaweed wet prophet saying repent. It wasn't over the prophet. It was over the thing that brought the prophet there. Nah, it's not about you. It's about, I wish you could hear me up in here. It's about the vehicle that's going to bring you here. It's about how bad the sin was that bound you. How horrible the disease was that held you. How terrible the situation was that was afflicting you. It's going to bring you in the presence of God. And you're going to step out of that thing. Say, he that the Son has set free is free. I wish I could preach to somebody. He that the Son has set free is free. Free indeed. Now let my imagination take over, Pastor. Because all I read in the Bible is Jonah said, repent. The entire country repented. The king heard it. They even put their animals on a fast. Let me tell you why. They blew the trumpet. The whole city knew their God had manifested itself. Finally, we have evidence that the sun god has embodied itself in a great fish and that our god Dagon is here. And when they went to the seashore to see the great fish, when the great fish opened its mouth, out of the mouth of their god come a delivered preacher saying, repent, because this fish isn't God, but the Jehovah God that I serve is God. He's tired of your sin and your iniquity, and he said, repent. When they saw that his god was big enough to use their god as a cargo pit, they said, dear God Almighty, his God is real. I think we'll repent. When the world sees you walk out of the mess of addiction and perversion, I wish I was preaching to somebody here. We have an entire world culture that they think that Hollywood is God, that lust is God, that money is God, that success is God, that party is God, that feel good religion is God. And if there's somebody in here that's man or woman enough that says, I'm broken, I'm depressed, I'm despondent, I made a mistake, I've got seaweed around my neck, but I see light at the end of the tunnel, I think I'm going to walk out of my mess and see what's going on. When he walked out of the belly of the fish, he was standing on the shores of the place that God had told him to go. Could I give somebody hope? If you'll be man or woman enough to get up out of the seaweed and wring your robe out of the fested mess, when you step out of your mess, you're going to be stepping on the shores of the destiny that God has already put in your life. Close your eyes and raise your hands to heaven now. Raise your hands to heaven and pray in the Spirit. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Come on, pray right now. Come out. Who is it in here? Who is it in here? You're broken, but don't let hell rejoice too quick. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I'm broken, but it's in the right pieces. Come on, pray. Put your hand on your head and pray. We need you to pray that visitors that are here can hear the word of God. I need somebody to hear me that understands that I may be messed up. You may be bound in the pit of your depression. You may be bound inside the belly of your own rebellion, but if you listen to God, he is opening the mouth. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, somebody ought to shout about this. Somebody ought to get happy about this. Somebody ought to really get happy about this. There is restoration in here. Just pray right now. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Don't know why I'm preaching like this, but just pray right now. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know who is here that's been struggling with stability. I don't know who it's here that's been struggling with submitting to God and fleeing from things that have been tempting you and tormenting you. Every eye closed. Am I preaching to any failures? Am I preaching to anybody that even though you're alive, you are in the pit of a vehicle of depression to where there's seaweed wrapped around your neck and it's dark and it's lonely, but you know God's up to something. Raise your hand and let me see you. You're a failure and you've messed up and flubbed up, but God's still calling you. Raise your hand. I want to see who you are all over this place. Keep your eyes closed. There's deliverance in here right now. I'm living through junk, preacher. I've got trouble in my life. Let me borrow the words of an old spiritual. Trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. Joy cometh. There's a morning coming. There's a dawn coming. There's a dawn of destiny trying to a birth on somebody. There's a birthing coming. Come on, somebody. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Loose right now. Open. Loose in the Holy Ghost. Something's breaking up in here. Open. Raise your hands right now. Holy Ghost. Hey, come on. Come on. Come on. My God, that's it. Let the anointing flow through you right now. Let the anointing right now. Your failures are not final. Your failures are not final. Your fear is not definite. Musicians, come. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm about to open this altar. It's already happening in the pews. If you're here and you're weeping, keep weeping. If you're a guest and you're feeling the anointing of the Lord, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. See, God's going to change your destiny. Destiny's about to join itself to somebody and follow you home. You're coming out of Moab. You're coming out of rebellion. You're surviving the pit and the snare. I had several of his scriptural examples, but I feel to stop. But listen to me. 2 years ago, we had a girl in our church. I won't say her real name, but her email name was Tweety Bird. Tweety Bird's mother was a cocaine prostitute. When Tweety Bird was born 14 years ago now, her mother died. They saved Tweety Bird. Her faith was distorted. Almost looked like a monster. From the time she was born until she was 3 years old, she had survived 16 surgeries. When I met Tweety, she was about 11 years old. Her face was swollen. I don't know how to describe it, but everything about it was artificial. Her forehead was huge. And the situation she had in the bone structure and all this. And she began to reach that about 12-year-old age that girls reach. And I never was a girl, so I don't understand this. My daughter turned 7 today. I think she's already going through it. But go through this deal. She'd email me. And she had my email. I didn't give my email to everybody, but she'd get it. And she emailed me, Brother Suber, I love you and Sister Suber. And do you think I'm pretty? And then she'd tell me, the other young people, they call me ugly and pig face. And I can tell you some of the stuff they said. If you ever want to see me mad, I didn't get mad much when I've pastored over 11 years. But to really make me mad is when I found out they were having youth activities and they'd call everybody else, even call her sister that was beautiful and older than her, but they'd tell everybody, don't tell her. We're going out, but don't tell her. Yeah. You won't see me mad. That was a bad day to be around Suber. But her grandmother raised her, and her grandmother come to me and said, Pastor, we're going to start surgery this year. It's going to take 3. But we found a surgeon in New Orleans Children's Hospital. I'll never forget. My youth pastor and I went down, and I love Tweety Bird. Great, beautiful person, great personality, whatever. And she'd keep on. I'd hug her sometimes. Do you think I'm pretty? Didn't have a daddy, didn't have a grandpa, didn't have a man figure in the world. I was it. If I abandoned her and rejected her, it was over. It's the only authority figure she had, her grandmother called. She'd get in trouble. Her grandmother called me and said, you need to talk to Tweety. I get on the phone. Girl, what is it? She'd start crying. I'm sorry. I wouldn't even have to get on to her. And I stood there as this doctor began to say, and he began to talk. And I said, Doc, slow down. What are you really saying? He said, what I'm really saying is we're about to break every bone in her face but her cheekbones. We're going to save that for later. And I stepped back and said, wait a minute. What are you talking about? What do you mean? I said, why didn't you do this when she was young? Why she couldn't get over? He said, because her bone structure has had to mature. And he said, what she was born with is not what she'll die with, but we could not change it until the bones matured. She has had to grow to where her face is as big of structure as it will be. Now that her growth has matured, we're going to be able to break the bones and make them how they ought to be. Who am I talking to in here? If God had started to do in your life what he's trying to do now when you first got saved, you would have never made the process. And you have matured to the point now that he can break your bones and twist you in the man or woman that he wants you to be. God help me. I wish I could preach to somebody. And he said, when I get through with Tweety Bird, she'll be the most beautiful girl in your youth group. Because I may have to break her. But he told me, he said, I'm a master at breaking bones. I didn't really understand it. Till about 6 months ago, I went back home after resigning church, went to preach in the altar, loving on people. Here comes this beautiful 14, 15-year-old girl. It's been over 2 years since that happened. I wasn't going to hug her. She's beautiful, tall. Come up for a hug. I always kind of sidestep, do that side hug thing. Don't want to get sued. And she looked at me and said, it's Tweety, Pastor. I didn't recognize her. After 2 or 3 surgeries, now that the nose, now that everything, I'm talking about a completely different person, because she got broken in all the right pieces. Now stay with me. Who am I talking to here? You don't understand why it's taking you this long. But super, I've been saved a long time. I've been around church a long time. I've been in and out. You understand? I'm not a new convert. Yeah, I know that. The person I'm talking to today is not even a first-time visitor or guest. The person I'm talking to today, it's taken you a long time to get where you are, and your whole life has turned you upside down, and you're totally confused because you don't understand why the breaking process is going on now, because you are finally to the mature level that you have grown as far as you're going to grow unless God takes the bones and begins to break and reconstruct in you. Because God does not want you to be remembered, David, as an adulterer. God wants you to be remembered as the greatest king Israel had ever had to have. So he's going to have to recreate in you a right spirit. He's going to have to make in you a clean heart and renew in you a right spirit. So he's going to have to break the bones. I'm broken. Somebody raise your hands. Every eye closed. I'm preaching to somebody right now. The surgeon of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, the hand of God is on you right now. And you don't understand the breaking. And hell has tried to confuse you. And hell has tried to tell you that everything that's been happening is to destroy you, that people don't love you, that people don't understand you, that God's abandoned you and forsaken you, and that God has left you. I wish somebody would scream and say, devil, you're a liar. I need somebody in here to hear. I need somebody to hear what I'm saying. You are broken. Yes. You have went to Moab. Yes. You did get cast overboard. Yes. But it's in all the right pieces. Nobody looking around. I'm about to open this altar. And I realize this is a different altar call than what I've been doing here. My altar calls have been very high and running and jumping. But today tears are flowing. From the back to the front, I want to know who is it here that walked in here thinking you had made so many mistakes and so much has happened that you would never get restored, that you would never find destiny and miracles, that you would never see the end of the thing. But God wanted me to tell you that he knew the end before he ever started you out, and that this is just a process of destiny and deliverance and hope. Come on right now, whoever you are, take your neighbor by the hand and come on. Who is it in here that says, I admit I failed. I admit I've made mistakes. I admit I've had trouble. Just come on up here right now. Let tears begin to flow. I admit that the enemy could take what I've done and turn it into a mistake. But what the devil has meant for evil, God's about to turn into my good. Huh? Here they come. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm begging you to come. I'm begging you to come. If you're a guest, please come. If you feel, but preacher, I don't understand. Preacher, I can never get better. I can never get right. I can never. Yes, you can. Come on. This is your service. This is your service where the end is finished. This is your service where the past is past, where yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is a new day. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new culture. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you, thank you. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Church, pray. You know how to minister? Minister to people. If you're not being ministered to, minister to somebody else. Please come. Please come. Yes, I'm broken, but it's in all the right places.
Reaching.